The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. We have Brock Huard on today's show. We do this every year with Brock, Fox Sports College analyst. He is part of SiriusXM, Channel 84, does a great job there. We have Brock come on, and because he does the college games for Fox, does the NFL for Fox, and he's just great at breaking down quarterbacks, he breaks down the quarterbacks in the draft class every year. And we're 3 weeks away from the draft, so it is now time to say, what is it about Trevor Lawrence's game that you just don't like? And what is it about Zach Wilson that's a red flag? Or what is it about Mac Jones? We're going to go right through the quarterbacks. Who is the one quarterback that nobody is talking about, that Brock Huard is saying, you know, this may be a guy? Like, we did this with Brock 3 years ago, and he said, Josh Rosen, basically, I wouldn't touch him. And he was dead flat right. And that's what I love about Brock. Very honest, very open, very straightforward. So Brock Huard is going to be with us. Tonight is the national championship game in college basketball. I, like you, were sitting there on Saturday night saying, no way, no way, no way. It was the greatest basketball game that I have ever seen on the college front. It just is. For me, growing up, seeing the Lakers with Magic Johnson in my era, from an NBA standpoint, you can give me all sorts of Showtime games. If it's Lakers, Sixers, and Dr. J over Michael Cooper, I can take that all day long. But if I'm talking college basketball and iconic shots, there's Christian Laettner, and that was from my youth. And then there's Jalen Suggs, which is me sitting there on Saturday night saying, man, I love this kid. I love this kid. And when you see Jalen Suggs and you see what he's all about as a two-sport star athlete, it's why I emphasize, just please go play multiple sports in high school. Like, he was easily the best football player. I'm sure some of you have seen, if you haven't over the weekend, his stuff making the rounds of how great a football player he was in high school in Minnesota. So it's been terrific. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. Brock Huard comes up at 10:20. So Zaga. Can you get it? Even I get lazy at times with it. It's Gonzaga and Baylor. It's what we've wanted to see all season long. There's a tie in there where Coach Drew at GCU is there tonight to support his brother, who's the coach for Baylor. That's a great angle. You have the size of the Zags throughout. Gonzaga is just bigger. They are just bigger. And the point guard battle, yeah, it's going to be huge tonight. But there's nobody that can stay with Drew Timmy. I don't know if it's just me when I watch Timmy play, but he walks out on the court and looks like a guy in the YMCA beer league on a Tuesday night. He just does. And then he goes and schools everybody. The Zags play the game so beautifully. You know, I sat here the last 3 weeks and said, they're in the West Coast Conference. They really don't get challenged that much. They just roll through people. And then you see them in the tournament where they hammer everybody. And then UCLA comes along. UCLA, the first minute or two, looked like they were a little wobbly, and then they settled down, and what a terrific game on so many fronts. There was so much entertainment. The game was being played the right way. It wasn't just one pass, three-point shot, that's it. The cuts, the back screens, the pick and rolls, the everything that you love, that I love to see. I am not one of these guys that just likes to see one pass and jack up a three. Don't care. I want to see the game be played the right way. It's a beautiful game when it's run correctly. And when I watched how both teams coached, and I saw where Mark Few did not call the timeout, and it's so smart. Do not call the timeout on a play like that with 3.3 seconds remaining. You do not want the defense to get set up. You're either playing for overtime or you're playing for the championship game. Suggs hits the shot. As soon as he releases it, he starts running over to the side. We've all watched it over and over and over. He jumps up on the table because he always wanted to jump up on the table and do the Dwayne Wade thing, the LeBron James thing, and he was able to do it. And so now there's some narrative out there of how much gas is left in the tank after such a taxing game. I don't buy any of that crap. Are you kidding me? It's the national title game tonight. This is adrenaline. These are 20-year-olds. They can sleep later. Cannot wait for tonight. Cannot wait. Because this is a final that you just look at the style of play and say, Baylor, get up and down. Zags, get up and down. And you can't top what happened the other night. And then there's the ladies' side. Okay, I watched U of A over the weekend, and they were terrific. They were a lot of fun to watch. I don't know why it is, though, that Arizona State fans just have to go to that level where they just simply can't say, hey, what a great run by the Pac-12, or what a great run by the U of A. Instead, I got a lot of, you know, there's really not a whole lot of warm, fuzzy feelings between the two coaches. I don't know. I haven't checked in with Charlie on that. I've never had Coach Barnes on this show. What should that matter? I mean, really, what should that matter? It's great for the conference. The conference, by the way, financially, it's been great for the conference. And just going back on the men's side, before I get over to, you know, to Ari McDonald and all that with U of A. On the men's side, for those of you that are still stuck in the they are amateurs and they shouldn't make any money, how much money did Suggs make the NCAA? How much money did that one shot mean to the university? So don't give me the, well, you know, he gets his education paid for and that's enough. No. If he were to sell jerseys today, how many jerseys would be sold? The video of that shot, everything that he put into it. He doesn't know any of that. So more now than ever, and I'll go over to McDonald now with U of A. She was terrific. She was fun to watch. She had some big shots against Connecticut. She had some big shots, too, against Stanford in the championship game. But she should be able to make some money. And so when we go down this path of, well, they're 20-year-olds and they get their books and board paid for, are you joking? And the conference, the Pac-12, has got to just be saying, hallelujah, because they get money, and the number will come out. They get money for each time they advance through the tournaments. So for UCLA to have such a deep run, to have those four teams get all the way into the Elite Eight, the three teams get all the way into the Elite Eight, that's extra money in the bank for a conference that desperately needed it because football did nothing. And I just felt like it was a win all the way around for the conference. It was a win for U of A women. It's a win for our state. It's a win for the University of Arizona basketball fans that have had to put up with all the nonsense surrounding the men's program. And I felt like the coverage of the games was almost on equal footing, except, you know, when you have the women's games that are over on ESPN, there's nothing wrong with that. You're on big, bad ESPN. But there comes a point where if a game is huge, then ESPN says, we're putting it over on ABC. And now it really becomes equal footing. So we've had this conversation here where U of A was left out of the hype video and they took that personal. Or I sat here and said, you know, the women's games are opposite the men's games, are cannibalizing each other. It was fine over the weekend to be where they were in terms of on ESPN where people could see the games. But they still didn't feel like this is the biggest thing ever. There wasn't that huge on-site group like we see with CBS and what we see with Charles and Kenny and Ernie Johnson all doing their thing there together in Clark Kellogg. Okay, it's not on equal footing yet. It's getting better. It's getting closer. Sometimes I feel like there's too much noise around that. And then there's the side of me, no, they can't be loud enough. The games stood on their own. The games had their own merit. And it was great for both the men and the women. And tonight I'm expecting nothing short of a classic too. We can't top what happened the other night with UCLA. That was the best game I've ever seen when it comes to college, without question. All right, Brock Huard joins us on the other side. And then we'll have much more as we roll on a Monday. We'll talk about the NFL draft and the quarterbacks and what he likes about each one of them that are going to be taken at the top, near the top, and that one sleeper quarterback, that's with Fox Sports' Brock Huard. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Right, as promised, Brock Huard is with us, breaking it down with the NFL draft right around the corner. We do this every year with Brock and really appreciate his time, and that is the quarterbacks. He will tell you which ones stink. No, he won't. He'll tell you which ones he would never draft. No, he won't. But, well, he might, but he will tell you the honest to God's truth. And so with Fox, not only does he do the college, but he does the NFL as well, so he sees these guys inside and out. All right. First off, you look great. You sound great over on Sirius, so people check him out over on the Sirius College channel. Secondly, Trevor Lawrence, what don't you like about him?
Not very much, man. He is, to me, he's number one, obviously, in this class. He's going to go number one, but there's quite a big delta. I think there's a bigger delta between him at one and whoever you want to put at two, three, four, five. Or like those, that the next four to me are all pretty darn close. I remember John Schneider teaching me this, and I think I've shared this with you before. And he's not alone. Most of these staffs, personnel departments view the draft in the same way. They try to clump players as much as they can together, right? So this grouping of players here. So, you know, if the 49ers, for example, come up to number three. Why? Because I think they look at two, three, four, and five as the quarterbacks, and they're just in that pod. They're in that grouping. And then where is that huge cliff? Right. They'll do that with linemen and receivers. And they'll say, okay, if we can be in this general area of the draft, you know, we feel pretty good about these four players. But man, after this, there is a significant drop off. And with Trevor, there is a huge cliff between him and everybody else. I guess the only thing, Brad, is he is lean. I mean, I saw him as a true freshman, his very first spring game. I got to do that spring game. I think it was Adam Amin and I. And I remember seeing him in person, and his waist was like, golly, does this guy even wear rib pads? I mean, he is so lean. Mm. So I think he checked in just under 6'6 and about 214 pounds on his pro day. I know my buddy Peyton here in town in Denver, he said he tried to put weights in his socks at weigh-in because he wanted to weigh at least 225. Mm. He too fought being a pretty lean guy in college. So if there's anything, that's nitpicking, but that's about the only thing I see.
Okay, let's just zip right through these guys. What you like, don't like. Zach Wilson.
Loosest arm in this draft, the most natural, fluid, loosest passer. He's shown it off, obviously, at Pro Day. He showed it off all last year. What I don't like is it's really a one-year body of work. You go back to his sophomore year, and there's a lot of tape that's pretty tough. You know, that's not number two pick in this draft worthy. So am I going to get sophomore Zach Wilson, or what was it that made that incredible jump to his junior year, his third year, where, remember, he was in a legitimate quarterback competition in August, a legit battle. He had to win that job. I don't know how many number two overall picks going into their final year of college had to fight for their position in training camp. He did. He won it, and he's taken off since then.
Justin Fields, Ohio State.
Tremendous athlete, unbelievably competitive. We saw him in person a couple different times. Just a thoroughbred, got legs like a Earl Campbell. I mean, unbelievably physically gifted. There is some disturbing sack tape. You know, if he's sitting down and John Gruden's doing his old John Gruden QB camp grilling all these guys, I guarantee you the coach would put on one film. It wouldn't be the highlights. It wouldn't be the running. It wouldn't be the playmaking against Clemson. He would put on the sack tape and say, let's walk through all of these sacks. Take me through it. Was it protection, not knowing protection? Was it holding on to the ball? Was it not seeing the extra blitzer? What was it about that sack reel, right? This isn't, oh, he can't get off number one. I think Dan Orlovsky blew that out of the water. He can see the field. He can read it. But I've watched Russell Wilson walk that line for a decade. When do I get rid of it? How do I hold on to it? How do I protect myself, right? Gruden always would say, you got to protect yourself. He took a beating behind an unbelievably talented line at times. So that, to me, would be the big question mark.
Brock Huard with us, Fox Football, and, of course, Sirius XM, College Sports Nation. Is there a drop after those three, or do you put Mac Jones? Do you put Trey Lance? Do you put those two in that group as well?
I put Trey Lance there just physically. I mean, he is just so doggone gifted. Obviously 17 games. So we'll go back to that Zach Wilson body of work. That's concerning. He's fluid. He's pretty darn natural. He moves very, very well. In talking to some of his teammates, as I've gotten to do on Sirius Radio over there on ESPNU Radio 84. In fact, the kid that's starting now just loves him. Attention to detail. Every just last little nugget that he wants, he loves it and pursues it with all of his heart. So So I put him there, and then I probably put Mac one step down, and it's only because of the physical abilities. I just don't see a plus trait. There's not plus size. There's not plus arm. There's not plus feet. There's not plus body, right? The only plus, and it's a big one, it's why he won a national title, was second in the Heisman, is his accuracy and anticipation are off the charts. That can carry you a long way. But to me, I'd be very, very leery of taking him anywhere near the top 10.
Brock, there's always a quarterback that media, that NFL guys, that always loved this kid, always liked that kid, and nobody talks about him. Who's that guy this year in this draft class?
Well, my little brother is at A&M, so I've got a pretty good book on Kellen Mond and what he did this year with less. He had a great O-line and run game, but he had no receivers. They left early, they transferred, and he had to make do with a lot of inexperience and not a lot of talent outside, and he managed it very, very well. So, again, gritty, tough, comes out of Jimbo's system. He knows the NFL brand. I think he's going to get drafted in the first three rounds. And then just Brad, just a wild card, like a guy that I saw up close and I was like, golly, this guy can just stink and throw the freaking ball, is Davis Mills at Stanford. Was the top kid coming out of high school, five-star out of Georgia, went to Stanford, has played behind some bad offensive lines, has gotten beat up, has only made, I think, 15 or 16 starts. I watched him beat the UW twice, though, a pro-style Jimmy Lake defense. He torched on third down, and the dude can spin the ball. So lands in the right spot, is able to grow, finds himself in a position, I don't know, like a New Orleans, you know, somewhere not as a first or second or third, because there's just, again, not enough sample size, but that kid can flat out throw it.
And all these guys have to find the right spot. Some can play right away, most can not, right? I mean, it really comes down to where they land on this, because fans could love them all day long. But you mentioned New Orleans. That could be a great landing spot for one of these guys.
Yeah, I think if your intrepid listeners would go back over the years, these 4 or 5 years in particular that we've done it, and looked at, oh, what did Brock think of this quarterback? What do you think of that quarterback? What did that know-it-all project on that guy? I think you'd find that, man, fit, to your point, is exactly right. Like Sam Darnold, I loved. I know that. I was not a fan. I think I told you that of Josh Rosen coming out that year. But I love Sam Darnold. I thought that guy was just gritty, tough, players loved him, good arm, good athlete, you know. But he's been in New York and it's been miserable, and he had to compete against Brady and Belichick for a couple of years. Now the Bills and that organization have seemed to kind of take in the lead. So I'll be curious to see if he's still a Jet at the end of the month and what all transpires with him, but he would be case in point where I think that fit is so incredibly important.
Last question, I'll get you out of here. Put your NFL cap on, because you saw Kyler Murray in person. What do you make out of 2 years of Kyler Murray here in Arizona?
Yeah, there is enough stuff there to build around, and why I think Kime and crew go for it and make the additions with some veteran players like AJ and JJ, the initial guys that have got a lot of pelts on the wall. So, yeah, I think he's given you a taste. It's just that consistency factor, you know, whether it is the group up front, whether it's just the maturity of that whole team in a division that is just brutally tough every single week. You know that, right? It's not just the Seahawks anymore. The Rams got the most dominant D-line in the league. The 49ers went to a Super Bowl just a couple years ago. So just that consistency every single day of every single week is just, I think, for that entire team and that young QB as well.
That's Brock Heward. You can hear him on Sirius XM Channel 84 every Monday through Friday. And, of course, on Fox College Football and Fox NFL. Good seeing you. Great stuff as always. Thanks.
Always a blast, Brad. Be well, bud.
And we're back with more after this timeout. What is it about Godzilla versus Kong? My 26-year-old, she calls and she says, she's in Chicago, she's going through nursing school, 25-year-old, and she was like, did you see the Gonzaga game? No, I'm in sports. I guess I didn't see it. Of course I saw it. And she said, oh yeah, we're going to watch Gonzaga again, or we're going to watch, listen to me, we're going to watch Godzilla versus Kong. Any of you guys see this? You can DM me. Okay, or semi-social, like why? Like, I thought about having Goody on. I saw Goody's review where he said it's just fine to be mindless and have some fun. But are you kidding me over the weekend? Doesn't mean that I didn't binge over on Disney Plus Falcon, because I did. But Godzilla versus Kong? Come on. A few things here. It is Masters Week. So I'm actually going to be traveling this week, and I find myself on Masters weekend, and November doesn't count because we're in the middle of a pandemic. They tried to shoehorn it in, and it just was out of sync. There will be no Tiger this week, but I'm going to watch. Brooks Koepka is going to play. I like watching Brooks Koepka. John Rahm became a father over the weekend for the first time. I like where John Rahm is. Obviously, we all want to see where Bryson is because Bryson hits the snot out of the ball. And I seriously think, I seriously believe that Nick Faldo is not a fan of Bryson. I know Nick said something, this is like a month ago, by Ricky Fowler of like, he'll miss the cut and he'll still go make TV commercials. Like, whoa, okay, taking some shots. But I'm looking forward to seeing Bryson because I feel like Nick believes that, yeah, he hits the ball a ton, but so what? So what? Like, he's enamored and in awe, but at the same time, it's like, okay. Guy hits it 50 yards short of him, and he's still outscoring Bryson. So what? I'm looking forward to that, that Masters is this week. I'm very pleased the Diamondbacks found a way to win a game because I don't like sitting here the first weekend of the season saying, I told you they weren't going to be any good, and they're still not good. They're 1-3. They did win yesterday. They're off today. They play at Colorado. The Suns continue to be interesting, but with this new schedule, the Suns don't start the playoffs until we get to the third week of May. So we are in the dog days of the NBA season right now. Dog days. Got to go take care of business against a bad Houston Rockets team tonight. They continue to play well. Devin Booker put up some video game numbers this last week when they went 4-0, and he hit like 56 to 60% of his shots. It was crazy. So there's that going on this week. In our profession, I'm noticing that there are many people trying to lay the groundwork and chasing their clicks on the Larry Fitzgerald is retired story. Sources believe that through NFL people, none of them have a last name of Schefter or King, okay? So media companies are just trying like crazy. We got to get clicks, man. We got to put something out there. Doesn't matter if it's half-baked, half-truth, or what if. What if? If you start seeing headlines on Sports 360 AZ that start with, what if the Cardinals won 12 games, then I just need to be put out to pasture because that's not going to happen. I'm not doing that. You know, if you're trying to go off clickbait on, what if Larry Fitzgerald came back? Oh, my gosh. And then when I talk to people in the decision-making space, they say, oh, come on, man, we're just in this for fun. Like, no, you're not. You're putting garbage out there. So knock it off. Stop with that. All right? Jed Nielsen is our chairman of the board. The show repeats over and over. We appreciate Brock Huard being on with us. We are self-funded. That means when you see our partners, whether it's here on the stream, in the TV show with Fox Sports or Bally Sports Arizona, I knew I was going to do that, with Bally Sports Arizona, I'll get it right, or you see them on our website at sports360az.com. We have partners that believe in what we are doing, and we have been at it for 9 years, and we are self-funded. So I appreciate their support. We encourage you to support them. Have yourself a great day.